I thought about the title for this weekend, and that's where the name Beyond Identity came from. And the title for tonight is There Is No God. Now, normally to us, and especially from our history, that sounds blasphemous. It doesn't make sense to the mind to not have somebody who did all of this. Okay? And it doesn't make sense to the mind to think that there's somebody that's not controlling all of this. And so it's just very unusual of I'm sorry, are we trying to do something here?
Just trying to turn that light on for you.
Okay.
That's fine. That's what it is.
Can you all see me out there?
Yes, we believe you're
So,
there.
I'm sorry, I'm a little sensitive to interruptions, so we gotta, yeah.
You're just in the sheets.
Yeah.
There we
Okay,
go.
all right.
It's hard to see your face.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
Now, do you and Ms. Doris want to move over here so you don't have to look at Corey all night?
Got
All right. Can you push that shut, Sophie? Can you shut that so they can talk out there?
Sorry, Mike.
There's a lot of noise in my own mind. And for that to settle down so I'm not listening to it is something all of us need to learn to develop. It's quite an art, and it starts out with just shut the hell up and wait. And when we, there's nothing wrong with having thoughts. The thoughts aren't our problem. It's when we believe the thoughts and the congregation of the thoughts come together and form concepts. And that's where the disconnect is at. I have them myself. It's a lot of times like when we go to get ready for meetings and stuff, I really don't like to socialize a lot. And a lot of times I'll come out at the last minute and I haven't heard anything because my mind is slowed down long enough so I can hear instead of talk to you because I don't want to talk to you. There's been enough of that going on. To say there is no God is quite a shock. A lot of people have agreed with the idea that there might not be a God, but yet, if we listen to our language and listen to what we say, a lot of times, even people that said to me, "No, I believe you, Mike. I believe what you're saying," but yet we're still talking about some being, a father, a God, a Jesus, a matrix. We can't believe that all of what we see is just a spontaneous explosion of unconditional love that has no plan and it doesn't have a purpose. See, we think there's supposed to be a plan and a purpose because the mind just can't comprehend the fact that somebody's not controlling this. And I'm here to tell you that nothing is controlling anything.
That's good.
Nothing is controlling anything. Unconditional love is the energy from which everything flows. And it's so spontaneous and it's so far outside of time that it's not something that can be thought about. It's not something you can think about. That's why it's beyond words and thoughts. as soon as you think of an idea that there could be a God controlling thing, it's blown by you. It's all left. So you've put the brakes on and you're trying to decipher and wanting to control and wanting to manipulate. So I think one of the closest expressions I could say to you that helps to understand this is realizing that it comes down to the realization that life is living you rather than the other way around. You don't have anything to say about it. And people say, well, that's very insulting. Well, I'm going to go even one step farther. Not only do you not have to say anything to say about it, there isn't a you that can say anything about it. Well, you know why? There's no time for it. And I don't want to step on any sacred horses, but even for somebody to tell you that you're love, with that comes bondage and conditions. Because we mix a concept of that in with that word. But unconditional love is neither good nor evil. And it's beyond words and thoughts. And it's everything all the time. It's this right now. We're here. This is paradise. This is all we're going to get. There's not something more to come tomorrow that's going to make this better or make it worse. There's been a lot of things that's happened this weekend already. Gary and Carol have went home. Gary's very sick. He told me to apologize to you. I guess he was sick before he left, and he thought maybe somehow he'd shake it off. Maybe he'd step on a turtle or something on the beach. I don't know. But he didn't shake it off, and he's back home. So he told me to apologize to everybody. But so unconditional love. We've got to go to another zone. So I'm going to try to take you to this other zone. Unconditional love isn't doing anything to you or for you. It is you. There's not a room for a personality. There's not a room for a God in the equation. There's not enough room in there for that. Okay? Because as soon as we talk about those things, we're thinking of control. Maybe we've gotten rid of the Hebrew God, the grandpa in the sky, but there's still murmurings going on. And that's why tonight I wanted to start out with first base when is saying that there is no God. There's no kind of a God that you could have a concept of to any degree out there that's doing anything. It's beyond the appearances. It's beyond the judgment of the five senses. It's incorporeal. It's outside of the realm of sight. It's outside of the realm of noise. And certainly this is full of a lot of noise. So this can't be it. But we've just had this brain God. Everybody's got this brain God that we've been worshiping and wanting to manipulate in some way most of the time to try to do something for us because we're in this zone of good and evil in our lives and we think something needs to change. Well, the whole thing is just a big trap. And so, Gary had said on Facebook that one of the biggest lies and scams that's ever been told, and I'm quoting him, the biggest lie and scam that's ever been perpetrated on the human race is that God had his son killed so we could be forgiven and loved by him again. And somebody had quoted a verse, my eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. But even an earthly father would never say to his son, well, son, I know you're a badass, but my eyes are too holy to behold iniquity. So I'll just forgive you, you know, but you know you're a low life, right? Well, where does that stuff come from? Is there a God that would say such a thing? Well, I can't see all your iniquity, so I'll just have to give you grace, you bunch of scum bums. That stuff's just asinine to think that way. And a lot of that stuff's been talked about. And it really, when you're talking about what Gary was quoting, they're just dealing with the Hebrew God here. But to me, the biggest scam that's ever been given to man is a God of reward and punishment. It's a concept in your mind of thinking that there's something there that's watching you. I mean, if there's a God, wouldn't he have to be watching you? I mean, what good would he be? If there's a God, but he's not watching you. Well, there's nothing there then, right? If he's not watching you, then there's nothing there. Hello? There is nothing watching you because there is no you. Beyond identity is where the secret place is. It's understanding that there's nothing ever, ever out of order. Nothing is ever out of order. And yet we still complain about things that we don't like. Well, if we're complaining about something we don't like, the government or whatever, or I don't care what it is, listen to your own voice. Are we complaining about something we don't like? That's your God that's complaining. Okay, there he is, plain as day. Hello? That's the God that's complaining. That's where it comes from. And we've put it up in the sky with the long beard, and we've got lists of stuff, but it's our own God. It's the God of our mind. We want to control. As soon as we complain about anything, the desire for control rears its ugly head. And this is, you know, I don't want to sound insulting at this, but we've been talking about this for a long, long time. And I'm still going out, and people still struggling with their God. People still talking about God this and God that. And I'm going, what in the hell's going on? Because it's all coming out of this hell of these complaints. If there's some kind of a God, there's got to be a yin and a yang to the thing. It just, otherwise it's useless. And I'm telling you it's useless and it doesn't exist. And so the words that we're speaking in these meetings, the words that are being shared now, you know, I'm hoping 10 years from now we'll look back and laugh at this stuff and think, how could we ever, ever believe in this ancient Hebrew God that rewarded and punished? How could we ever believe, and we've got to personalize it now, how could we believe that there's something that's watching me? You start out with yourself, or watching something else and pulling everything with puppet strings. See, well, when you're out of the equation, you're not a puppet. There's no puppet anymore, is there? So there's the spontaneous explosion of unconditional love that's always everything. And it's always now. And now's even too long of a word. The concept, the other thing that I want people to make the connection on is that any kind of a concept of a God or your voice, your mind putting together sentences, speaking then about things that you don't like, this is the voice of God. Okay, it's always the voice of God. It's never the voice of unconditional love, ever. It's always the voice of God, and it's your voice. Okay? Any inkling, any concept, any idea you've got of any kind of issue or concern or judgment of the world comes from this God of control. Now, who is this God? It's the God of this world. It's the God of your world. Because where do all the complaints come from? Our version, view of the world. We're looking out and we're saying, this isn't right and that isn't right. And I'm just telling you from my own place, from my own sense of life, it's so freeing to not believe in that bullshit anymore. It's just so freeing. There's so much freedom there to be set free from realizing that this mind and these ideas that come from this mind with all these conglomeration of thoughts isn't reality. And that's where the world comes from. And that's why I can say to you that your world is an illusion. Your world is an illusion. It's not, this isn't an illusion out here. There's nothing out of order out here. This isn't an illusion. Your judgment of your world is the illusion. That's the illusion. That's easy to understand. You don't have to look at a tree and say, you're not there. I'm going to bang my head against you and I won't get a bruise. Yes, you will. But your view of it, your judgment of it is not, it's never, ever real. As soon as you start to make a commentary on what you see or what you like or don't like, that's what's not real. Now, it won't slow down really fast because it's just going to keep spinning. But now you can stand away from it and aloof from it and say, this isn't me. This thing that's going on, this isn't me. It's not coming from me. It's coming from these connected thoughts that are putting together sentences and ideas of what should and shouldn't be. And when you really get this down and you start to listen to yourself, one day you're just going to say, shut the hell up, Satan, and get behind me. Because that's what the mind does. That's the only thing it's ever been called. So any concept of any kind of a God can only be a God of your world, a God of this world. There isn't any other. We're judging, what's the biggest one that hurts the most? We're judging the world for hope, judging the world for peace, but it's not out of order. Nothing's out of order. But we want peace. We pray for peace in our world, right? That's where it comes from. This is the big one out there. And believe me, I know I've been beat with a cat of nine tails by a lot of unfriending because I've said the peace you're looking for is the peace of your world of good and evil. It's your own world. And it has to have a God because something needs done. Because there's always something wrong, isn't there? Or there's something right. One of the two. The real purpose of the whole weekend, my whole goal is, and I'm going to say something to you when we get to the end tonight that I just hope you guys will send me. This is what I want a thank you card for. Not for me. Okay? But I'm going to you to send me a thank you card. And I'm going to want you to say something, and it has nothing to do with me, okay? So I'll wait for you. I'll let you hold on that till the end, see if you're paying attention. There's this energy out there, okay? This energy that's out there. It's unconditional love. It isn't doing anything to anybody. That's how far beyond this concept of this world it is. It isn't something that stands still long enough for you to take a thought about it. That's what I'm talking about. It's other. There's this energy out there. It can't be judged as right or wrong. It's moving too fast. It's not standing still long enough to be judged. And it's unconditional love, and it's everything all the time, and it's never, ever out of order. Nothing needs to be fixed. Hello? Hello? You out there? Nothing needs to be fixed. Nothing needs to be changed when nothing's out of order. So what's out of order? It's collisions going on there all the time. There's huge wrecks going on up there. Head-on collisions all the time. What's a head-on collision? When you're going, holy shit, what just happened? Wow, that was bad, or that was good. That's a head-on collision, okay? The shock of that is going to start to go away. And I can tell you, I just with my business that I have and the other things that go on in my life, when shit hits the fan and it doesn't bother me, you want to know how good that feels? And you know why? Because I don't take it personal. It's not about me. Nobody's up there shooting darts at me with fire-breathing dragons on the end of them trying to catch me. Nope, nothing's doing that. Isn't that wonderful? Robert had a bunch of problems with his truck on the way up here. I looked at his truck. It looks fine and shiny and new to me. But I guess it's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, listen, Robert, we used to have a feeling that that meant I was doing something wrong. Well, but it has nothing to do with you. That's the whole point. How could it have anything to do with you if there's no you? Huh? What a relief that should be for everyone. Do you know what all you're getting away with if there's no you anymore? Huh? We should be standing up and down rolling around just with that. But nobody believes it. See? Nobody can believe that. It's something that will come to you and you'll realize when this happens or that happens, it's not because of you. You're not the center of the world. It's not. There's nothing happening like that out there at all. And any idea of something like that comes from a God complex that we have. And I'm going to read a little bit of what Nancy Brooks said about this. But so there's this energy out there. We've made a huge mistake and we've called it God. Huge mistake. It's created this world of duality. Having a God means that you're living in duality. And our whole goal, my whole goal as being a teacher and sharing with you, is to deliver you from this sense of separation where all of this constriction is and your butt is so tight you just can't breathe. Right? That's salvation, is when this constricted energy starts to relax and realizes life isn't about me. Life isn't about what I like or don't like, because if there's a you and a God, doesn't that equal two? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You're living in duality. If you say the word God, then you have a concept of God. Hello? That's not a word that should be used loosely. If you're saying the word God, and God sure as hell ain't love. If there is one out there, the last thing he is love. So, duality, two, there is no you, there is no God. Wow. I want to say praise God, but then I'm contradicting myself, right? Huh? We've been brought up in the West under a Christian culture, worshiping a Hebrew God, and we sort of put a stake in the Hebrew God, but we still haven't got rid of our own. And what is your own? The one that doesn't like stuff. The one that thinks something's out of order. The one that when the shit hits the fan, that you take it personally. See, that's God. That's what God is. Yes. Any kind of sense of control at all, or out of control, or I want to control, that's God. And if there's anybody that's taught me that, it's Dean Dosher. Yeah. And he's hammered it and hammered it and hammered it. And it probably took 200 times before I really thought, this guy's nuts. You know why? Because I just felt guilty the whole time that, you know, I can't, that's blasphemy to say there's no God. See? That, well, I mean, he's sort of right, but I'm not sure I can quite go there. Right? But tonight, we got to put a stake in this dagger and realize that all of this is coming just from your mind. There's nothing out there. No, Robert sang about being no grandpa in the sky, whether he doesn't have cousins either. There isn't any offspring. So I've got good news for you. And I sort of let the cat out of the bag. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Why is that? I've already said it. Why is there nothing wrong with you? There's no you. There is no, everybody say it, there is no you. Beyond, there is no separate identity. Nothing is separate. There's no such thing as a you and a God or a you and another. And Gary put up on his wall, which I had read before in one of Maharaj's books, but it said, what about others? And the guy said, there are no others. And so this sense of oneness, we don't understand oneness because it's still two-ness. See? It's still two-ness, pretending it's oneness. And that's not it.
We can't even all get together. Because there's no all or together. It's all
yeah.
Or
yeah. Well, and when you think about the fact that there's no time, right?
Yeah.
See, life is having its way with you. Unconditional love is having its way with you. Okay? All right? Yeah. You've been looking for that all your life, haven't you, Carolyn, huh? So the good news is there's no you. Well, think about that. Your mind's not ever going to believe that.
Yeah.
But just think about that. What does that mean? That really gets you off the hook, doesn't it? Huh?
Yep.
No responsibility. No one to blame. You shouldn't ever say another word. If there's no you, you should become mute.
Monks.
Yeah. It should calm the savage beast, for sure, shouldn't it? It should immediately recognize that this isn't it. If there's no you, this isn't it. This thing that we've called Satan, the devil, the same thing as God. Dean said once on a post, he said, God was the serpent that deceived Eve. And I remember the first time he posted it. Don Davis Harrison put, you had to say it, didn't you? And it just floored me. Because he'd already gotten rid of my God, but I would never say that with my words. Well, why? Why couldn't I say that, what he posted? Because there was still some sense of respect for this Hebrew God that wasn't dead yet. Right? And I was afraid. I would never say God was the serpent that deceived Eve. Mm-mm. Not me, I ain't saying it. You do it. And Mikey likes everything. And I would not do that. I really understand the depth of that now, where that's coming from. And, as long as there's a self, a you, a me, to any degree, all you can experience is separation. That's called hell and destruction. As long as there's a you and a me, what is there? There has to be separation. There's a you and a me. That's not oneness. That's not real oneness, is it? Huh? It's where all the prejudice come from. And it says that the wisdom from above is first pure and gentle and without hypocrisy and without prejudice. Well, saying, what about others, and then saying there are no others, that's pretty pure word. So this energy that's in us is this constricted energy. It's the self wanting to survive, wanting to stay alive, not wanting to die. And it's what's created the concept of God. This is where all this concept of God comes from. And it helps the separate self manage the world, its world, right? So even if you're not saying God a lot anymore, if you're in fear, if the statement I just said to you, you know, God is the serpent that deceived Eve, if it caused you to fear and tremble, you better think, you know, what is this? What is this strange God? Because I know I'm sort of Johnny One Note, okay? But I'm just becoming very sensitive because I'm seeing a lot of people that said, yeah, I don't believe there's a God out there. And then, you know, Facebook or post later, God, 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 and I'll pray for you and all this stuff. Well, who the hell are you praying to? Yeah. Who's out there that's hearing these prayers? Yeah. Because here's a good test now. Say, well, I'm on my way to the hospital and I just smashed my knee all to hell, and say, you know, I'm just letting you know. Well, people will pray for me. Well, you'll find out, everybody that believes in a God, because I'm praying for you, yes, and right? You'll find out right away. I'm telling you, it will be the death of you, either now or when your toes are sticking up with a couple flowers in them, okay? All it'll end then, or it can end now, right? One of the two. So, Dean said, identity will die no matter how great its God. Maharaj, the guy I read all the time, Nisargadatta, what a name, Maharaji. I like this guy, though. He says a lot of truth. He said, withdrawal, aloofness, letting go is death. To live fully, death is essential. Death to what? Me. Me, me. Death. Didn't Jesus say it? You've got to lose your life to find life. He didn't say, well, go out and play dead and then get back up, because that's what everybody's doing. Oh, yeah, I went through a death experience. Well, that's not what he's talking about. We're talking about what? Beyond identity. The illusion of identity is what is killing you every day. Because when that's gone, your God will be gone. When you realize there's no you, what in the hell would you need a God for? Yep. They both go. But as long as there's a you, there's a God. In some manner, as long as there's this identity that thinks he's somebody, when he's nobody, he deceives himself, Paul said. The self-deception comes from the idea that you're a separate person scratching out a living by the sweat of your brow, trying to make a life for yourself. And here all the time, life's just blubbing away through you all the time. The water's still flowing. It doesn't matter what you think you can do or not do. It's still just going on spontaneously. And we're just outside of ourselves we're still mowing the lawn around us, little graveyard here. We just won't let go of the lawnmower. We're just going to mow that grass to death because we still don't quite believe it's dead yet. That might not be a real good analogy, but you know what I mean. You sort of get the idea. We just can't let go of the handle that I'm somebody. That's where God comes from. Everybody knows Dana Consenza. She writes a lot of poems for me. Does everybody know Dana? talked with her on Facebook. I think most people know her. She's really seen what I've been trying to tell you and is been a little frustrated by, because she's become very sensitive to the fact that people are saying, well, I don't believe in God, but then they got some backdoor God somewhere still alive. Not sure which one it is. And she wrote, to say we are all one still has the undertones of separation. We still implies plural of more than one. The I has a justification for this. Oh, we are one spirit, but individual expressions. But it's still just the individual persona cloaked in false oneness. You see how that statement is sneaky? We're one spirit, but individual expressions. No. That's not true. There is no such thing as an individual. There is no you. You can't be a no you and still have an expression. And that's what she's saying here. There is absolutely no individual in one. If the definition of one is all in all. So now what is it? It's this unconditional love I'm talking to you about that's never out of order, that's spontaneously behaving every split second, every microsecond. It's living life as you, and you've got nothing to say about it. You've got no control over it. That should just blow your mind. Because it certainly doesn't appear that way, Mike. It doesn't look that way. Well, guess what? The appearances never, ever will speak the truth to you if you're looking at them. If you're looking at them long enough, they're going to start talking to you about what's right or what's wrong. That's what's going to happen. So she continues. The definition of the individual self means single, separate, to be distinct from a group, a class, or family. Jesus was very clear when he said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it. So the phantom has so blinded the eyes to believe that the eye has life and is life. And that's what we just got done talking about. So much so that religions are created to justify a life after death. See, we don't really know what life is. In the Christian world, eternal life is some life that's screwed on to your death, that begins when you die and you enter heaven, right? Well, guess what, guys? There isn't a place called heaven somewhere you're going to go, just to let you know, okay? Everything that there is happening right now. Everything. And it now doesn't change because this blip Mike Nevins quit squalling and bawling on the earth. That doesn't change anything. It's not about me. It's not about what I like or don't like. It's not life. It's called death. And Jesus recognized it right away when he said to the guy that wanted to go bury his uncle, he said, let the dead bury the dead. Well, what is this living dead? I'm describing it to you. To think that you have a life to live is living in an active death. That's what it is. You don't have any control over anything. And once you get that down and start to understand that and realize it, you can just take a big breath. And just exhale. And go take a nap. Sleep for a week. I don't care. You might need it. Huh? After all of that? After all of that, it's meaningless? Absolutely. Any concept we've ever had of a life separate from what I'm talking to you has been absolutely meaningless. It's just been concepts anyways. So, what if there was a universe where everything was love and no one knew separation. It would have to be a world where you were not a body and a mind. It would have to be a universe beyond the five senses, an incorporeal world that no man could touch. So, if you're not here, what's the problem? And how could you have a God? You, God? Nancy wrote about this, and I wanted to share it with you. I think I'm going to do that tomorrow. But I want to just end with a quote of Dean's that was so beautiful and so simple. Do you remember when I posted on Facebook about the white moose? Remember, see that albino moose that had dark maroon antlers? The thing was just drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, one of the guys, must have been Bruce's cousin, was real teary over it. He said, I was crying, he goes. He looked like quite a stud. You know, I looked at his picture. He goes, I saw that, and I just started bawling. So Dean, this is his what he said when he saw this moose. And he calls it the truth of a moose. The truth of a moose, it has no judgment of its color, where it lives, if it's good or bad, ugly or cute. It's honest, it has no God, and is free.
That's good.
That something? The truth of a moose, how simple. So here's you guys, this is, here's your test now. So I want to see if you're listening tonight, okay? You shouldn't have to write this down. The greatest gift I could receive from any of you is for me to hear you say you're free from your God. That's the greatest thing you could tell me. Because I know if it's really true that you're free, just like this moose. He has no God and he's free. Okay, thank you everybody.